Let us turn together to this psalm that we have read today. Here is Psalm 139. And this great psalm focuses on four great truths, tremendous truths that are set before us to encourage us and to edify us. First, of course, we have God's knowledge of all things in verses 1 through to 6. And here in the verse 4, we read in relation to that knowledge, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." What a tremendous truth and what a great challenge. Not a word does God miss. Every word that we speak is known unto him. Then, of course, his presence is everywhere. His presence is everywhere. And that great truth is set out here in verses 7 through to 12. In the verse 7 we read, "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" No matter where we go, no matter where we are, the Lord's eye is upon us. And what a comfort, what a blessing to know that his presence is with his people continually. Then his power in the formation of man. That's what we're thinking of today. We're thinking of our very commencement of life, our conception, the Lord's protection of us in the womb. And that is set forth here, of course, in verses 13 to 18. He says here in the verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Then his holiness is set before us here in the psalm. The holiness of God. Our God is holy. And we are commanded, we are instructed, we his people, to be holy. "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." Holy in all our ways, in our walk with him. Holy in our words and our conversation. That is set forth here, verses 19 to 24. And of course, his holiness, the holiness of God, will overcome all the evil of men. Verse 23, here's a challenge for us as we think of his holiness in this psalm. Here in the verse 23, we read these words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." God searches the heart and he tries the reins. He searches us to the very depths. And it's not what we appear before men or what we are so much on the outward appearance. But God looks deeper and he looks within the heart. He searches the heart of men. And you know, I was just thinking of this the other day. I am not sure about the world's population, what it is. Maybe the young people there at college or school will be able to tell me. But we know it runs into the billions of people. Multitudes of people. Now, it's beyond our conception. It's beyond our understanding. But to think of the multitudes of this earth, we would ask ourselves the question, perhaps there is one person somewhere. There's an individual somewhere that escapes the notice of the Almighty God. Is there a person somewhere in some far off land, some remote place, and God has missed that person and does not see their heart and know their thoughts? We know the answer to that. And of course, that is not so. He is God who searches the heart of every individual, and not one misses his notice or his scrutiny. But we want to think today about the first work that God ever performed for us, a miraculous work. We're thinking about the work of the womb. From our conception right through to our birth. And here we have it set forth. We have read it here in the verses 13 and 14. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We want to think then in these verses about this miraculous work of God. That is a miraculous work, a miracle. God covering us and forming us in our mother's womb. And of course, this word here, as I'm sure you know, in verse 14, he speaks of these words here, fearfully and wonderfully made. This is a miracle. This is the work of God. This is the special work of the Lord. They're the formation and the keeping and the shaping of the little babe in the mother's womb. And this is how it is summed up, fearfully and wonderfully made. It literally means, of course, a very special work. It is that work of embroidery. That work of embroidery. Now, I think probably most of us in the congregation, we know something about that and we're familiar with it. We may, perhaps our mothers, going back to our mothers, they are our grandmothers. And I'm sure there's ladies here in the congregation. And you have carried out, you have done this special work of embroidery. This special needlework. It is very accurate. It is very specific. And the result is marvelous. Well, what is it? Well, a lady, she takes a piece of cloth, whatever size it might be. Now she has in her mind, she has her needles ready, she has the thread ready, and she's ready to commence the work. But she has a pattern in her mind that she wants to put upon this cloth. A pattern. It may be a pattern, perhaps, of a little cottage out in the country. That's what she's going to embroider upon that cloth. It may be a country scene. It may be a little animal, whatever it might be. But she has it there in her mind. The shape of it, the size of it. And she has all the needles that, because as far as I know, not one needle will do the work perhaps. Maybe several needles are needed. And then there's the different colored threads as well. And so she is ready to commence her work. It is referring here, of course, to this fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, this describes here the very commencement of life. From the moment of conception, the coming together of the man and woman. And a little embryo is conceived in the womb. But, of course, the needlework, this special work, the outcome is the work of God. Our very shape, all that God has given to us, all our nerves, the little feet, the little hands, the eyes, the ears, everything is the work of God. And it's all fearfully and wonderfully made. A very special work indeed. As I say, a pointed needlework. Maybe you have seen your mother or your grandmother at this work. And how careful they are in placing the needle, in following the pattern there upon that cloth. And it is taken, of course, and it's different colors involved, and threads are used. And my, when it's finished, how amazing. Perhaps the lady has been at work upon this. It may be for days, but I think it's usually weeks, and it's months even, before it is finished. And when the thing is finally done, when the work is finished, she'll invite people now. She may set it out there on the table, and she'll say, right, have a look at it now, it's finished. And you admire it, the beauty of it. How specific and detailed it is. That little cottage, that little animal, that little country scene, or whatever it is. So pointed, so colourful, and it is so well done. And you look at it, and you say to yourself, my, what a wonderful work that is. How attractive.
How detailed. And you ask the question, well, how long did it take for her to do that? The finished product, so wonderful. Now, God has made this wonderful plan. And before we were created, before we were born and came into this world, God had this plan before him. For you and for me. And as we have read here, of course, we were curiously in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in my books, all of my members were written, and they were fashioned. Now, this is the first work of providence that God ever did for you and for me. You say to me, well, what do you mean by providence? I'm talking about the plan of God. I'm talking about the rule of God. You see, men and women, this world does not run at random. Things are not out of control as we think they are. We only have to go back to the scriptures and look at a portion like this to think of our very beginning, our very conception, and God's careful needlework. Our formation in the womb to our very birth is the very work, the very special, specific work of the Almighty God. Bringing them all together. How wonderful it is. Now, this is God's work. And when you think of the wonder of it, that God had this plan before him. And of course, I'm sure we're all acquainted with just with some details of the human body when we think of the blood vessels. And if they were all joined together end to end, that circle there would go around the earth's equator four times. Isn't that wonderful? Our blood vessels, put end to end, would go around this earth's equator four times. When we think of the human heart, that in an average lifetime, it will beat more than 3 billion times in an average lifespan. This is the work of God. This is the sustaining power of the Lord. There are more than 100,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. And how awful it is when you look out today and when you think of how the world looks upon this great curious work. The work of God in the womb. The safe keeping of the Lord. All of this. When you think of the marvel of our eyes, when you think of the formation of our ears and all our faculties, and isn't it true that information can travel along our very nerves at something like 400 miles per hour, information traveling through the nerves? Oh, how true the words here of the psalmist. And he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. But then, of course, not only that, but we think there's a downside to this in the sense there's a very sad, evil trend that there is today. What is abortion? What is abortion? Men and women, abortion is a tearing apart of that beautiful needlework of God. That's what it is. It is a crime. It is murder. It is a destroying that special work that God has created in the womb. Something we don't like to dwell on. At least I don't anyway. It would depress you. It would get you down to think of that. And what's happening today. Of the slaughter of the countless numbers of infants. Of God's beautiful work, of God's amazing work, of God's special work. I am made in the image of God, made in the image of the Lord. But note here as well, as I've already mentioned, we're thinking of this work and of God's of God's care and of God's skill, as it were. But note here as well that we were protected. For it says here in the verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Men and women, young people, older people, why are we present today here in the congregation? And again, I don't want to go into detail, for I'm not skilled for to do so. How many things could have gone wrong? How many things might have gone wrong? But here we are today, with that measure of health and strength. You have everything that God has given to you, the use of your hands and eyes and ears and everything else. And our faculties and our judgment and gifts that God has given. And so we come to this very moment and we come to this very hour here in this service. Why is that? God protected us in the mother's womb. God protected you and he protected me. Praise his name. You see, isn't the scripture so very clear? Nobody can live or exist apart from God. There is no such thing today as an independent man or an independent woman or an independent young person. They may stick their heads up in the cloud and they may laugh at God and mock and everything else and say, "I'm my own man and I can do as I please and I can live as I please. I'm not accountable to anybody." But there is no such thing on the face of this planet. The Apostle Paul reminds us that in him we live and move and we have our being. And just as we were taken care of, sheltered, protected there from the very first moment of our conception until the very day of our birth, we were protected in the mother's womb and brought into this world. Safe birth. How many things could have gone wrong? I'm not skilled to go into them all, and I'm not going to. But we know and we can sympathize, can't we? We all sympathize when things go wrong, with the mother and with the father. We feel it. We pray for them. Because it's undoubtedly a difficult time. And yet, of course, when things do go wrong, never let us forget. And I may be speaking to somebody in the congregation today that's feeling the grief and the hurt. Yet remember this, dear soul, that your Heavenly Father is a loving, caring Heavenly Father. And he cares for you. And he is mindful of you. And he hasn't forsaken you. And he will undertake for you. He will undertake for you. I was very encouraged reading just recently Mr. Spurgeon, and he spoke, you know, about right throughout the whole world, the number of little infants we will say something happens, they die before the age of reasoning. And he spoke about those multitude of infants that he believed went straight to glory to their Heavenly Father. What a mercy. What a blessing. Oh, but our lives might have been extinguished many a time. The frailty of it all. Even there of that little babe in the mother's womb. It is often likened on to that little bird in the shell. And you see how frail the existence is there. There are so many things can go wrong. There are so many predators on the watch all the time of that little nest that could at any time just snatch all away. Oh, but the mercy of the Lord. Yes, surrounded by dangers. He says in verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in all thy book, all my members," he says, all of them, it literally means, "were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. But just like that embroidery work, God had the plan before him. God had the plan before him. How diverse, how wonderful. All different sizes, all different shapes, all different abilities, this, that, and the other. But God had the plan before him. And I say again, what an awful thing it is, this thing of abortion. If your mother or grandmother made a piece of embroidery work for you, a special needlework, beautifully finished and turned out in all different colors, and she said to you, now there's a little gift for you, that's yours, take it home. Wouldn't it be an awful thing, an awful insult if you were to take it and say, oh, I'm not really interested, and tear it apart and throw it to one side? You would never think of doing that. How precious is the life of God, the life that he gives, the wonder-working power of the Almighty, the shaping of us, the faculties he has given to us. Ah, but there's something that comes out of this as well that we ought to consider. We want to think then, yes, we take it from our mother's womb. We take it from the womb, God's protection, our arrival into the world. But I want us to think about something else in relation to this. Think about the time and the place of your birth. Think about the time and the place of your birth. As I say, we're living in a society when it's very much the bingo and the lottery is in people's psyche. When they talk about luck and they talk about chance. Oh, dear friend, when we open the Word of God today, we do not find any such terms at all. But we find this God, as I've already mentioned, a God of providence. A God with a plan, a God who rules, a God who directs everything. Is it by chance that you were born where you were born, from your mother's womb? Is it by chance that you were born at the time in which you were born? Is that all chance? That you were born under the preaching of the gospel? That you came into a Sunday school class? That you were brought up in a Christian home? Is that all chance? You remember the words that we read, and let me read them for you. In the book of Acts, in the chapter 17, and in the verse 26. Acts chapter 17, and the verse 26. And hath made of one blood. The apostle Paul here is speaking to those at Athens. And hath made, he's enforcing this great truth. This great, you read of it in verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And then he says in the verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you're born in Africa or in Asia or here in Ulster or wherever, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One blood of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. Do you see that? God is a God who determines. He's not a God who works at random. He's not a God of chance or of luck. Let us put it out of our minds. He's a God who determines things. And I tell you at this time, as you think of Brexit and whatever becomes of the whole thing, God is the God who determines the outcome. Not man. God determines it. And he determines the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, the very country in which you were born. But let's narrow it down. The very county in which you were born. The very district in which you were born. And the very hospital in which you were born. Your parents, your home, and everything else. When you think of this, what a wonderful privilege. the time and place of our birth, our substance not hid from him, and all the rest. Fearfully and wonderfully made. We might have been born someplace where nothing existed but darkness, spiritual darkness, heathenism, persecution, an outlawing of the gospel. You remember, turn back again here in this book of Psalms to the Psalm 74 and the verse 20. Psalm 74 and the verse 20. And here we find the verse 19. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. See that? The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. We only have to listen to our news and lift our newspaper. And you see, there's parts of this earth and parts of this world today are cruel. They're cruel to their women. They're cruel to their children. They're cruel to the Christian that's there. They have no thought whatever, or very little thought, of what we call kindness and fairness and justice. They're cruel habitations. You might have been born there, and so might have I. Where you had no open Bible, no place of worship, no preaching of the gospel, no house of God to come to, no prayer meeting or anything else. Places of cruel habitation. But God has appointed these places. The bounds, our bounds was set. Our bounds were set. Your bounds here in Market Hill, up the road there, and your home, your Sunday school, and all of these privileges. Always see the world, see parts of the world. Cruel, hard places. Dominated by darkness. Dominated by darkness. Ah, but as we think of this wonderful, as we think of this wonderful work, brethren, today, we know that man is more than a body. He is more than just that special embroidery work, that needlework of God in the womb. He's more than that, even. We know that he was made in the image of God. Don't we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You've got a soul today. Is your soul saved? Are you saved today, young person? Made in the image of God, what does that mean? It means you're made with a conscience. It means you have an understanding. It means you have judgment. It means you have a mind. It means you have a spirit. God has given you these things. Never listen to people that are telling you you're not much better than a monkey or an ape. No, no, we're far above all of that. Yes, the image of God is defaced. Man is a fallen creature. There's no doubt about that. But he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I ask a question today as you think of these mercies? How, dear soul, have you used these? How have you used them? Do you see the mercies of God to you today? Do you see the blessings? Man's chief end, what is it? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What's wrong today? People are not enjoying God. Look out upon our society. It was never worse than it is today, with all sorts of mental illnesses and depressions among teenagers and young people. I was just speaking to the young people there in the class before the meeting. Down and out. Living in despair. Nothing to live for. Life means nothing. Their bodies means nothing. Their minds means nothing. God has given all of these wonderful blessings and these wonderful mercies. And listen, the scripture, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our temples, our bodies are what? Our bodies are, what are they for? Are they for the drugs? Are they for the sex and the immorality? Are they for drinking? Are they for pleasure? What's our bodies for? Our bodies are the very temples of the Holy Spirit of God that God has given to us, that dwells within us, every believer. That's what our bodies are for. Young man and woman today, that's why God has given you a body and given you gifts. That's why he protected you in your mother's womb. You're God's special needlework, his embroidery work. And you have come into this world, and you have come into a special place, and you have come in under the sound of the gospel. You've come under the sound of the gospel. We hear of people today hating themselves, no respect for themselves. And of course, we all have to say, there go I, but for the grace of God. There go I, but for the grace of God. It's the gospel that lifts people up. It's a knowledge of God and of his word. And it is the salvation of God that lifts a man up out of the mire. As I said before, it makes them kings and priests unto God. Oh, if they could only see that God is willing, the Lord is willing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them and to come and to dwell in them. Now, did I say that people have no respect for themselves today? Yes, I think that's true in many a case. But I want to tell you this. God who formed them and the God who made them and gave them all of these faculties, do you think that God has no respect for his own work in the mother's womb and brought them forth and gave them ears and eyes and feet? And we grumble and we complain. What are we complaining about? You can go to work, you can do many a thing. God has respect and God puts a high honor on what he has created. And this world, this country of ours is going to suffer the consequences for, putting their fist up in the hand of God and tearing his special work apart every day and every week in this country. But oh, think of the privileges today. And think of what God has done for you. And be saved today. Give your life, young person or older person, give your life unto him. And live the life that's worth living. And don't waste your time out in the world. We've all been out there in the pub and everything else, and there's nothing in it at the end of the day. There's nothing there. But give your life to him and be saved. And ask the Lord to save you in this meeting. And give your present and your future days over to him. God has respect for you and cares about you. And the Lord Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost. Now, we're going to sing together.